The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. I'm your host, David Williams.
Along with the Sammy B. What's up, guys? Because I didn't get a what's up from the last time or the time before. Well, actually, I did. Dave did. What's up, man? But
I did, yeah, the solo show with the COVID scare. So I didn't talk about that a whole lot. I won't honestly, like, I was around somebody that was around somebody, and so I had to wait for their test to come back, and it was just kind of weird, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to put you, if they are positive, I'm not going to put you in the line of fire. So I just done one solo. I was actually hiding out in my basement for 3 days away from my family. Like, it was
like a ninja.
I hated it, dude. Yeah, honestly,
I wouldn't have liked
because
that either.
I can't get my family. So, you know, I've got a newborn. Yeah. I'm not going to take a chance. So I'm in the basement and I don't have the I don't have everything set up down there yet. And so I'm down there and I'm at the mercy of everybody else. Like, they were setting stuff at the top of the stairs and then shutting the door and walking away. And then I would go get it. I felt like a prisoner almost, but it was brutal. So anyway, well, this is Hoopball Grizz. We're, off to a roaring start. This is the post-game show. The Grizzlies play the Portland Trailblazers today. They lost in overtime. I had said it in previous shows. This is the team, out of all the teams that are chasing the Grizz, this is the team that, I guess, scares is honestly the best word. I hate to use that, but
this is
a team that I would least want to face.
That's what I was about to say.
In a play-in situation because of Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. Carmelo Anthony is at the tail end of his career, but as you can see from today, he can still shoot the ball. He can still score. He's not going to bring you much more than that. But when you have three guys that can score at will on a roster, it can be scary. The Grizzlies had plenty of opportunities to close this game out. They, in my opinion, shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
You missed 12 free throws in total.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it now. I'll say it a million times if you listen to the podcast. I know you've heard me say this before. Free throws win championship.
I've said it.
They do. And take away the 12 missed because you're not going to shoot 100%. I'm well aware of that. The Grizzlies shot. Hold on. I'm on Portland. The Grizzlies were 76% from the free throw line. But these are the ones that really, really, really matter. They had three technical foul free throws. They missed every single one of them. 0-for-3 on the technical foul free throws. DeAnthony Melton was 3-for-7. He's normally a really good free throw shooter, and he did not shoot good from the line today. Obviously, that's not the only thing that cost them the games. There were some questionable shot choices by Dylan Brooks. There's some things that they could have done differently, obviously. But when it comes down to it, if you execute on those free throws, makes all the difference in the world. Sam, actually, I went into work. Wasn't supposed to work, but I went into work, so I didn't get to watch it. But I had it playing. I listened to the entire game. Sam got to watch it.
I got to watch most of it.
So give me that. Like, on the radio, you know, I'm at the mercy of Fish and Sean Elliott. Mm-hmm. And those guys are fabulous. I'm so glad to hear them. I'm glad that basketball is back. I watched the opening night, the Jazz, Pelicans, Lakers, Clippers. The games that I have watched / listened to so far have not disappointed. It has been, it's felt like a really, really good product, man. It feels like basketball. I was wondering if it was going to be weird, but these games, go ahead, man. I keep talking over you.
These restart game, not the restart as in yesterday, but the one games, the warm-up games, there we go.
The scrimmages.
The scrimmages. Now, those, the first game I watched, there was like the, I think it was a Clipper game, and they had the TV screens all the way around, and at one point they put like fake fans on the thing. I'm like, what the? That threw me for a loop.
Yeah, so Michelob Ultra, I think, is doing where you can kind of sign up to be, like, you can sit in front of, like, you can be one of the digital fans when
I saw that today. Yeah. I saw it, and there was one person literally laying on their bed sideways with their arm resting on their arm like this, some girl, and it was right next to this little kid, and it looked like they were, like, it looked weird. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, oh, that's the fan thing. I'm like, okay, all right, y'all need to pick a different place to put that one, but all right, fair enough. But no, it was neat. But the scrimmages, it just didn't feel right because there wasn't any fans there, you know, even though there was, I guess, on the screen. Yeah. But it just didn't feel right. And after watching today what I got to see of the Grizzlies, it was kind of nice to see him play again. It was, you know, a real game this time.
Sure, yeah, one that counted. You know, I think the NBA has done a great job, like the piping in noise and all, like the stuff that they're doing. They've done a good job with it. They're up against the wall, right? Like, what do you do? You don't know. You don't know. You've never dealt with this. You don't know what to do. So you do the best you can. And I think that they have done, for me, they've exceeded what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, it's early. We're, you know, this is the first few games of the actual restart that count. And three out of the four games have been last second / overtime games. Mm-hmm. And the one that wasn't is one that you didn't expect to be. You know, the Brooklyn Nets are putting a G League team out there. They're just going to fall. Yeah. Everybody expects them to fall. You know, they're missing the core of their team.
Well,
you know,
like Kyrie, Kevin. Of course, Kevin didn't really play. He didn't play, period. That's right.
DeAndre Jordan. I mean, they're missing a lot of guys from that. And, you know, even was it Michael Beasley they signed, and then he ended up testing positive for COVID, and so they
I didn't know that.
Like, it was they've not had good luck. No. So it's nobody expects the Nets to do much down there, and you know, I'm sure it's tough as a Nets fan to sit back and watch what's going on with them, but you got to have hope because
that's right.
They're going to be much better.
Well,
next
that's
year.
What I was about to say. Caris LeVert, keep it up. You the man.
Yeah. DFS guy, Caris LeVert, he's going to be a god because he is going to be carrying the load for the Nets.
Yes. Right now until further notice. Yeah. He's the man.
Yep. I'm going to run through the box scores real quick. And then we'll just kind of dive in a little bit more to the game. Kyle Anderson, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well. He was 1 for 5 from the field. Jaren Jackson doing unicorn things with 33 points, 3 rebounds, a steal, a block. 6 threes. 6, count them, for the 7-foot guard. JV, foul trouble.
It got him.
He was eaten. He scored 16 points in 4 minutes. 16 points and not in 4 minutes. That would be crazy. 14 minutes.
I haven't seen him do that yet.
16 points in 14 minutes. He was foul trouble, killing him. Dylan Brooks, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Ja Morant, double-double, 22, 5, 11. DeAnthony Melton, Mr. Do Something, filling up the stat line like he always does, 7, 4, 2, 2, 1. Brandon Clark, off the bench, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks.
My man.
Grayson Allen played 21 minutes, 5 points, 2 rebounds. He shot pretty well from there. He was 2 for 4 from the field. Made the only 3-point attempt that he took. Just honestly was not that effective out there.
I'm just glad to see him playing again.
Glad that he's out there, but, you know,
We need Sane, production, but
yeah, Sane was out. He's like, man, I understand that coach loves Grayson, and I love Grayson and the way that he plays the game, but I don't think right now is it, and I don't know that it is either. You know, the NBA in general had a big layoff, but he had a longer layoff because of that hip injury. So it's, you know, there's a little more rust for him than the other guys. Josh Jackson was 8-6-2. Anthony Tolliver, 14 minutes, 4 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. For a total of 135 points, just short of the 140 that the Trailblazers put up.
They're poo-poo.
Got the best of them today, man. They did. It's
like I said in one of our other podcasts, they've got their whole team back now. The Blazers do.
Yeah.
Nurk looked good today, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 18-9-5 with 6 blocks.
And he fouled out. There was no telling what that man was going to do.
Yeah, he was definitely doing what you wanted to see him do coming back. So I'm going to address this. Dylan Brooks, there was a whole conversation on Twitter about him and his shot selection and how he shot the Grizzlies out of the game. And I know kind of what the guys are referring to whenever it comes to that, because there were a few times when I was listening to the radio broadcast that he came down and Elliott's like, man, that's not what you want. You don't want to fire up a one pass three. He said, I don't care that it's an open look. I don't care that it's a good look. When you're in the lead, you want to eat time off of that clock, and him firing up that shot, even though it was a good look, is not the play. And it's a young team. They've had to learn how to win over the course of the year, and learning how to play from behind. Like, when you're playing from behind, you know what to do. Your balls to the wall, everything you got, you're putting up points as quick as possible. So a shot selection like that doesn't look as bad as when you're playing with the lead, trying to maintain it, you're wanting to eat up some of that clock before you score. I think you all know where I stand with Dylan Brooks. You know, I feel like I think Dylan, yes, is it his fourth year in the league? But with injuries and everything like that, he's played just over 2 seasons worth of games. And
yep.
He's still young. This team is still young. That is something he has to fix, though. I'm not going to sit here and apologize for Dylan making bad choices or bad shot selections because of his youth. The coaches know that he's making bad shot selections. They've got to address that. The coaching staff has to be like, hey, Dylan, listen, this is what we need from you. And then he's got to be receptive or not, and hopefully he is, and then you see where you go from there. But there were plenty of people ready to give up on him because he struggled in the first 2 scrimmage games, and then he came out and he smacked the Heat right in the face, and there was a whole lot less trash talk on him. So I get the hate on Dylan. I understand that. There are just a lot of things about his game that I like. The defensive end. So there's one thing that's been coming up, and it was a good conversation to be a part of, but the I can't remember which outlet. Some outlet released a statement saying Zach LaVine has mentioned he's tired of losing. And the saying tweets, he's like, future Grizz. And I've got to be honest, man. You know, and I said it, you know, in there, I'm like, I don't think he's it, man. I don't think he's the answer. And I get the – so what do you get from Zach LaVine?
Injuries.
He's been fairly healthy in Chicago.
Well, this last year, I guess he – yeah, I guess he was this past year.
You know, he
year.
Missed it. So not this season, but the previous season. He missed a little bit of time, and I remember this because I traded for him. Uh-huh. Or no, I had him.
You had him and you traded
and
him
And I
off.
Traded him for Chris Paul, mm-hmm. and it won me the championship. Let's go.
Yeah, whatever.
It did. But he didn't miss that much time. So he's been fairly healthy in Chicago. He's missed a few games. But this is what concerns me with Zach LaVine. This is a reservation that I have with Zach LaVine possibly being a future Grizz. Number one is his attitude. Okay, he's never, like, the relationship with a coach in Chicago is not good. He was not problematic in Minnesota. He was not one, you know, you didn't see anything. But there's been plenty of instances in Chicago where you have attitude or friction between him and the coach. None of the guys that are on the Grizzlies roster right now, young roster, I understand, maybe just haven't had the time in the league in order for that to happen, but none of the guys on the roster right now have done that. And I worry about, is this going to be Zach LaVine's MO? Is this what, you know, is he going to get somewhere and get unhappy, and then start throwing a crybaby fit? I don't know. That would be
maybe. No, I don't know. I don't. So, I'd kind of like to see just you know, stat wise, Zach LaVine, healthy Zach LaVine with the Grizzlies. That'd be really cool. I think you got a really good score there. My God.
You got a guy that on any given night can drop 40. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when I think of him in fantasy numbers, I think of him about 40-point games and stuff. I really do. Yeah. Three point threat, 40 points. He's going to.
How well can he play off the ball, though?
Yeah. Well, that's the.
You know, can he play off the ball? If he is on a team with a playmaker like Ja Morant, can he play off the ball?
He's never been on something like that. I don't know.
Everything in his game says he can. You know, he can shoot the ball.
His attitude.
So it's obviously, you know, it's.
I don't know.
All right. So do this for me, Sam. Are you why you would 100% want Zach LaVine on this team? I want to hear why you would and why you wouldn't want LaVine on this team.
Scoring wise, absolutely, because that would definitely help that out. Could have helped today. We keep in the same roster, I guess. Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna have to give something up to get him.
They can have Zhang Gorgi. They can have him. Well,
he may be part of that trade to make the money right, honestly. Yeah. And you know, expiring contract.
I'd like him for the scoring aspect, but like you said, I don't know. You don't know if he can play off the ball. You don't know how his attitude's going to be. Like you said, his attitude in Chicago. Man, I could go on. I'm not going to get into that, but
I'm not going to sit here and act like the issues that he's had in Chicago, some of the attitude, some of the stuff that he's done. I'm not going to say that it's not justified.
Yeah, I won't.
There have been some decisions made by that coach that I don't know if he's trying to make a point. I can't tell you what he's trying to do. But I'm not sitting here saying that Zach LaVine being upset with his coach is not justified. Like, I'm not one of these, you got to do whatever the coach says. No. That's not like these guys are grown men.
I'd tell Taylor Jenkins where to go if I played on the Grizzlies. I'm just kidding, Taylor. I'm just playing around.
All right. So the pros, obviously, with LaVine, if they do make this trade to get Zach, and there's, you know, the Grizzlies front office, this is just spitballing. But what do you give up for him? What do you have to? Does Brandon Clark have to be in that deal?
I was just about to say, I think it'd probably have to be Dylan and Brandon almost.
And that's it. You're giving up Dylan, and that's fine because you're getting LaVine is going to take his role. But is it worth giving up Brandon Clark?
No.
And then do the Bulls, like, where does Brandon Clark slide into their roster? Because you know, you got Lauri Markkanen, and I'm the, obviously, like, I've watched Brandon Clark play. I know that he is athletic.
Forward.
Like, I know what he can do. I'm not saying that he wouldn't play in Chicago, but how does he fit into your team build? What happens there? And there was also talk about Thad Young. Thad Young, they're saying, you know, they may move Zach LaVine and Thad Young. And then at that point, you know, Brandon Clark, okay, he's eating up Thad Young's minutes. Or maybe he progresses and he's a starter. I don't know what happens there, but knowing what this young core has and the chemistry that they have, some of the oop dunks and the thing, you know, I've watched the highlight videos of some of the stuff that happened today. If you take a guy like Brandon Clark away from this team, do you end up missing that? Is that going to be the one piece that you're going to need to push you over the top? So the front office has done this front office has done a fantastic job of putting this team together, and whatever they do, you know, I'm on board. I trust this front office. They've made a lot of great decisions, but I just don't know. For me, Dylan's defense, Zach LaVine, it's not even remotely
97-87 2K logic right there. Well, Dylan's a 97. LaVine, I would say LaVine's a 77.
It's not in comparison. The difference on the offensive end, so the amount of offense that LaVine brings. Like, he's X amount greater than mm-hmm. Dylan on offense. Dylan is just as much, if not more, than that on LaVine on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Ja is a pretty good defender. But do you want Ja working his ass off guarding the heart, like the toughest guy on the other team? Is that what you want? Do you want your star? I don't know what you do, man.
I think
this is what I'll say. If the Grizzlies can pull off that trade and land Zach LaVine and somehow manage to keep Brandon Clark,
that'd be all right.
Honestly, there's not another piece that they would give up that I'm not okay with. Ja's not going anywhere. Jaren's not going anywhere. If they can get LaVine on this roster and not lose Brandon Clark, then sign me up. I'll take it.
As long as they don't trade Jonas, we're good.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He, like, I've said it before, and I know that he's your dude, and you know that I love him too, but he's not off limits to me, man, just because of age.
Just because he's old, awful.
I'm not calling him old at all, but he just doesn't fit the time frame.
He's younger than me.
You know, he's he's an anchor for this team mm-hmm. right now. He is, and that's, had he not been in foul trouble, I think they win this game.
Oh,
today.
Feed the beast.
It's supposed to be a post game. We kind of ran off on a trail there. You know, you guys know it's 140-135 final score. Portland beats them. That was a big game for both teams. The Grizzlies really, really needed that game, but Portland obviously needed it more. It's the execution, making good shot selection, free throws.
They're freebies. They're gimmies. You got to make them. You at least got to – what'd they shoot? 12 of them, you said?
They missed 12. They
missed
12. 38 for 50.
38 for 50. So you need to be 49 of 50. Boom.
Yeah. Ball game. I mean, I'm not.
If you have Zach LaVine, it'd happen.
If they
– I have no idea. Don't quote me on that. I don't know how
if
well
they make
free
the three
–
the three technical foul free throws, I think that makes all the difference
in
the world.
I know,
they lost by five.
Yeah, but I feel they had three technical free throws, you sure?
Three of them.
And they missed.
Yep.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure Ja went in, they called a tee, Ja got to shoot the technical, and he made that.
Maybe I'm mistaken, but
I know for a fact Ja went to the line. Nobody was standing there, and he shot one free. And, yeah, they called it, and Ja makes the technical free throw.
So were there four technical fouls?
I think so.
Maybe.
Because there was one right at the end.
DeAnthony Melton missed. He missed.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Did he miss two technical free throws?
He may have.
I know that he missed one for sure, and Grayson Allen missed one.
And I know Ja made his because they – Unless I was watching some other game that Ja, maybe I dreamed it. I don't know, but I'm fairly certain that Ja. Correct me if I'm wrong. Comment on it if you want. Correct it, but fairly certain.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and watch the replay and see. But I do. I feel like maybe it was one for four. But either way, when you get a technical foul for you, you've got to make it, man. You have to. I don't expect them to shoot 100%, but
I do.
You can't miss that many free throws. It's just not.
It's 2K like, logic. You have to shoot 30 for 30. There it is.
You got to do better. That's for sure. So, you know, with that, the Grizzlies fall
0-1 in the restart.
Yeah, 0-1 in the
32
game.
And 34.
What's that put the lead in the standing, Sam? Sounds like you got it up over there.
No, I just pulled that out of my butt. I'll be honest with you.
No, that's right though. 32.
Oh, I was right. Okay, I knew it was somewhere. Let me see. I don't. Never mind. I lied.
Sam's terrible.
I am. I can't see straight right now. So
yeah. So that the Trailblazers are 2.5 games back of the Grizzlies at this point. The Blazers are 30 and 37. The Grizzlies are 32 and 34. The Grizzlies got work to do, man. They have got
if they'd have won today, they would have put them what, 4.5 games ahead, something like that.
Yeah, it's basically if the Grizzlies had won today, then what happens in the Spurs, whoever won the Spurs Kings game would have been in ninth place at that point. And then if the Spurs won that game, the next game that the Grizzlies play on Sunday would have been that much more important. Not that it's not important, you know. Boy, the Grizzlies,
every game's important now.
They've got to win this game. They cannot start this 0-2. They have to beat a depleted Spurs team. I will never in my life sleep on a Popovich team because it's Coach Popovich. He's one of the greatest of all time. He knows how to rally the troops. The problem is he's missing a lot of troops right now.
Yeah, I've seen crazier things.
Not quite to the Nets level, but you know he's missing some pretty core pieces. And so the Grizzlies have got to go out and execute. They've got to beat the Spurs. And, you know, it was back and forth in the season between those two. Like, that's the – I don't know, was it 2-1? I know it was at least 1-1 because the Spurs came in and shot, like, 1,000%.
Yeah, I remember that. Memphis. That was LaMarcus Aldridge's, like, 500-point game.
Yeah.
56 or something like that.
I apologize. I should have been better prepared. But anyway, that's all. They've got to win this game. This is a must-win game. I said it before. I said, like, you do not want to face Portland in a play-in game.
No.
You don't. That team, they have not played that well. Like, Dame had a good year, but the team overall did not play all that well this year. Yeah, they had injuries. Zach Collins was out. He was back today. Nurkic was out. You saw what kind of impact Nurkic made on the game.
They both looked really good today.
Both of those guys affected the game.
They had two huge men out there, and I was like, this is absolutely not fair, because I'm like, they have their whole team back now. And I've said that before, but that's the thing. It's they've had their whole – they are a good team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add that there, I mean, that's it. There it is.
Being healthy makes all the difference in the world. The Grizzlies were down Tyus Jones. Do you feel like Tyus Jones makes a difference?
Mm-hmm.
You feel like the Grizzlies missed him, to, you know, because
he would have came in where Grayson did, I guess, right?
That would be my guess. Grayson played like 22 minutes. I don't think Grayson plays near that much.
No, if Tyus is there, because Tyus is. And that could have been the thing there. You know, there's no telling now. You can't really tell. But yeah. I would, it's possible. Yeah.
Man, I don't know, man.
Five-point difference. I mean, he could – well, of course, Grayson scored 5. So, they take 10. So, Tyus scored 10. He could. You know, getting to double overtime and then triple overtime, quadruple. We've seen that playoffs, Portland and Nuggets last year.
Yeah, man.
We stayed up till almost 2 o'clock in the morning watching that, and I had to work the next day.
So bottom line today, Grizzlies lose to the Trailblazers, and that lead shrinks. Grizzlies have got to take care of business. They've got two games here that mean a ton in the standings. They go Spurs, and then on the third, they play the Pelicans.
So we're going to find out if they're the Pelicans or Pelicans.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk with Zion and how much he's going to play, how much he's not going to play. And, you know, Lyle and I are going to do a co-show on that one. So there's something that I want to say about that, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. But anyway, so next two games, the Grizzlies have got to take care of business. You've got to make better decisions when you're in the lead. Dylan has got to make better shot selection. They've got to take care of the ball.
Well,
got to make free throws.
There was two shots that he took that I said you've got the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's early in the shot clock. I mean, you've got like 20 seconds, not 20, but I'm okay to get it across the floor. It was like 18, 16 seconds left, I remember. And Dylan, wide open for three, boom, misses it. I was like, ooh. And, of course, shout out to Joe. He was standing next to me. Who was that? And it was Dylan Brooks. He does that occasionally. And then he goes down, and a couple possessions later, he goes in, shoots a – open two jumper, but of course, 15 seconds left, and it misses that. And it's just like, dude, I like you, but it's like, dude, Yeah. I will ream you too, yeah, Dylan.
So if he knocks the shot down, is it that big of a deal?
No.
It's still not a good shot selection.
No.
It's not. When you have the lead.
But we win.
If he knocks those shots down, Grizzlies win. There's not as much said about it, obviously. But it's still not a good decision. Even if, you know, you knock those shots down, it's still early in the shot clock. You want to eat the time up. That's what you want to do there. And so regardless whether he makes it or not, it's still not a good shot selection. At that point of the game, you have to make better decisions. There's always more than one thing that costs you the game. There were some things defensively they could have done a little bit different. There were, you know, I know at one point they were trapping. They were double-teaming and trapping and taking the ball out of Lillard and McCollum's hands. And that's when they went on that big run. It was like 30-6. They went on that big run. And then for whatever reason, they got away from that. And I don't know if there was something that Jenkins saw that maybe, okay, they're breaking that down now, so we're going to stop doing that. It was tough for me because I'm listening to it on the radio. So I didn't see exactly what was going on that made them get away from that.
That was the first two quarters for me. I got to listen to it on the radio, and then I went somewhere and finally got to see most of the rest of the game from that. So,
well, either way, it's good to have sports back. I hate that the Grizzlies lost. We suit up again on Sunday against the Spurs.
Spurs.
Another 3 o'clock time window. Spurs. You're killing me, Smalls. We're going to wrap it up there, guys. Thanks for listening. Before we go, we're going to talk to you about our partner here at HoopBall, MyBookie.ag. They are back with us right now, and the promo is better than last time. It was great last time. It's better this time. MyBookie is matching your initial deposit 100% right now. So you go to MyBookie, you sign up, you enter the promo code HoopBall. They are going to match your initial deposit 100%, and on top of that 100% match, you're going to get an additional $10 for an MLB futures bet. If you're not an MLB guy, you need somebody to listen to give you some pointers on MLB, go check out the guys at HoopBall Gaming. They've been doing great work. Devin, Ira, the whole team over there has just been killing it. Go check them out. If you're not a baseball guy, you want to use that money, they can give you pointers. They will point you in the right direction to set you up. But it's mybookie.ag. The promo code is HoopBall, and that gets you a 100% deposit match whenever you sign up with a new account. Again, mybookie.ag, promo code HoopBall. MyBookie's been in the business for a long time, guys. They have more lines and better odds than any other site out there. Go check them out, mybookie.ag. You will not be disappointed. Their terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay you. It's plain, that easy.
Plain and simple.
That easy.
Do it.
One more time. MyBookie.ag, the promo code for the 100%.
There you HoopBall. Go.
It's 100% that easy. Deposit, man.
HOOPBALL. Boom. I even spelled it for you.
That's right. Thanks, MyBookie, for coming along with us, man. We appreciate it. That's all we got. You can find the show on Twitter at HoopBall Grizz. I am at DWill2111. Sam is?
It is at SammyB1118. That's a capital S, lowercase A-M-M-Y, capital B-1118.
We will see you all Sunday night, hopefully, after a Grizzlies win against the Spurs.
Oh, they got this. If they don't, I'm disowning them. Who are they? Memphis who? Grizzlies what?
What?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz. Yeager.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.